Finding Christ in Cinema and the Great Commission Transmission Network is made possible by the support of listeners like you. To learn more and to partner with us, visit us at gctnetwork.com/donate. On this episode of Finding Christ in Cinema, we have our wands at the ready for the Battle of Hogwarts as we look for Christian themes in Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2. Why was Harry raised to die for this moment? How brightly does the light of love shine in the darkness? All that and more in 3, 2, 1. Come on in, admission is free, grab a bowl of popcorn, extra butter of course, and find a seat smack dab in the middle. It's time for Finding Christ in Cinema, episode 104. I'm Michael.
And I'm Brendan.
Join us and together we'll dig deeper into the silver screen classics of yesteryear, as well as the box office hits of today. We'll take a closer look at the stories they tell and see if we find the face of Jesus looking back. We're going to explore the deeper meanings of these films, their plots and their twists, the characters and their choices, and how we can relate them to the gospel of salvation and ultimately our Christian walk. You're tuned in to Finding Christ in Cinema on the GCT Network.
Is your Great Commission transmission.
Brendan, I'm sorry for starting without you. I didn't realize you were coming back from the bathroom or whatever.
I'm sorry. I was on...
You should have told me, hey, wait!
I was on Twitter because I was going to share that we're live.
Well, go ahead.
That we are now live in the studio.
Yes, we live in the studio.
And I got distracted by Taylor Swift. For some reason, she was on my feed, and it was one of those memes.
What are you guys talking about?
It wasn't her in person. It was a meme.
Oh!
It was just a meme with her picture on it. I was reading what the meme said.
Okay, well, I don't understand. Now, if you got a private message from her, then I would understand that you have to respond to that quickly. But...
Well, that's true.
Okay, what did we talk about last time, Brendan?
Oh, last time... Oh...
The tears fell.
We opened at the close.
Oh!
Last time we talked about Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 1.
Oh, man. That was episode number 103 of Finding Christ in Cinema. You can listen to that at christincinema.com if you haven't heard it yet. Brendan, did you have anything that you needed to add to it? Addendums, afterthoughts? Oh, and another thing.
No, I just want to get this over with.
Why?
Because it's so sad.
But it's so
beautiful.
What are we talking about today?
After all this time. Always.
Oh.
Today we are talking about Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2.
Completing the series that we started 2 years ago.
So long ago.
You ready to go to the theater?
I'm ready.
Here we go.
Finish this the way we started.
Together!
Yeah.
Only I can live forever.
Even the trailer! Even the Et Tu trailer?
Et Tu trailer?
Wow.
Oh, man. That just the way that French horn comes in with the theme, with quote, Hedwig's theme. Oh, goodness gracious.
The scoring in this is
perfection. Again. Alexandre Desplat.
Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir.
Oh.
Okay,
Brandon. So do we have to talk about it?
Yes. First impressions. Last impressions. Lasting impressions.
This was the one and only Harry Potter film that I actually went to a midnight premiere for.
Oh, did you?
Yes. And the whole day leading up to it, I binge-watched everything.
Wow, a big old marathon.
Well, it took 2 days. Sorry, it took 2 days. So it was like the first four films and then the last three before this one that night.
Okay, what was the experience like?
Oh, the experience, everyone turned out. You might not think that the little home theater in Shelbyville, Tennessee would have much, but people turned out for the midnight showing.
Wow.
Place was full. There were moments in the movie, which I'm sure we'll talk about, where people were just openly weeping.
Yeah.
But then there were other moments where where applause just erupted and, you know, shouts of joy and rejoicing. And it was,
You know, that really ties into our discussion on FCC 101, Storytelling in the Kingdom or for the Kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
So let me ask you real quick, if using this particularly, this story and this catharsis, why does it have such a profound effect on certain people, such as like what you're describing, an entire theater full of people? And it was the same when we went and saw it. I don't go to midnight showings of anything because, proper people are to be in bed at that time. But anyway, what is it?
Right.
What is it about this story? What is it?
I don't know. I know you asked me before the show started so I could have my gears turning, and
there's just too much.
It's just it's a lot to talk about. I can at least speak for me. It's growing up with the characters, because the world was introduced to these characters as the ages were close to like to my own.
Uh-huh.
Harry, Ron, Hermione, that whole Hogwarts class. Now granted, in the time scale of things, this last film takes place in 1998. And in that year, I was in third grade. But,
oh my gosh.
Yeah, I know. Sorry. That's not ageism.
Yes, it is.
No,
you're trying to make me feel old.
No,
right here at the beginning of the show?
No, I open at the close.
Yeah.
However, just seeing these characters, and then as the film started coming out, I think the first film did come out when I was 11. So when Harry was 11, yeah, when Ron was 11, when Hermione was, we were all 11 years old, and just growing up with these characters.
Yeah.
And then, of course, what was so poignant was not knowing what happened to the books for me, because I only read up to the fourth one.
You got
to
remedy that.
I know, and now I got to, if I'm going to read, because I'm going to read The Cursed Child.
Yeah.
Because I don't want another Harry Potter story to go by without me reading the book first.
There you go.
So, that aside, growing up with these characters. Oh, and what I was going to say was seeing Snape vilified,
mm-hmm.
villainified, and made the bad guy. But still wondering why he was still around. Why Rowling still portrayed him in a somewhat positive light.
Let me interject.
Okay.
Okay, because I was just thinking in my mind, how does this apply to what we talked about on FCC 101? Because you had mentioned, something about the best storytelling is that we are identifying with the characters up to, and something to refresh our memories about the turn. There's that turn that you mentioned that really sticks in my mind. And I'm thinking the turn even though it wasn't a turn, it's a perceived turn.
It's a turn of perception.
Yes. Yeah. On our part.
Yes. Or Harry's part, too. Because
and we experience it with, that's what
like
it is.
Through Harry. Vicariously, if I can use that word.
So this really is classic storytelling.
Yeah.
In every sense of the word.
Yep, because this whole time we've been fostered to believe that Snape is a bad guy. But then once we get to this part and the film series and the books, once we get to this part to why Snape...
What were his last words?
Oh, I don't... Stop.
You have your mother's eyes.
Oh, goodness. Okay.
Oh. Brennan, we have a long way to go.
Yeah.
And a short time. We only have 50 minutes left in the show.
I am saying longest episode ever. Even longer than FCC 102, Batman versus Superman, Dawn of Justice, Ultimate Edition.
You didn't get that past me.
Because I was doing the thing. That episode was, 2 hours and 12 minutes?
Yes.
I'm saying this is going to be 2 hours and 17 minutes.
He's wrong. However, so we have 50 minutes left.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
Shout-outs. Do you have any shout-outs?
Just the whole...
Everything.
Cast.
Everything.
The whole crew.
The cast, crew.
The whole... Actually, one person we have failed to mention.
Yes.
At least to my recognition. If I can...
To your satisfaction.
To my satisfaction.
Yes.
Now that I realize how necessary... He was to this whole process.
Yes.
Steve Kloves, the writer of the screenplay for all 8 films.
Really?
I'm fairly certain. I'm going to confirm that on IMDb at this very moment.
Okay.
Producing the show, IRL.
On the fly. Yes, in real life. In real time. IRT. All right, so he cut out all kinds of things. From the books, which to my chagrin, but hey, I understand. You know,
you got to do what Hollywood wants you to do.
People need a bathroom break.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay,
and yes, all 8 films.
Okay, all right.
He hasn't done much except those.
Oh boy.
Wow,
he doesn't need to.
He's proven
not
himself.
Anymore.
Yeah, not anymore. I can't remember if we've ever mentioned him or not.
Can I give a shout out to Warwick Davis, FCC's
very
own?
Mean nasty grip hook.
Hey, that opening scene where Harry goes in. You know, I want to talk to the
Goblin. Yeah,
everything about what Warwick did in that scene is pure brilliant. I mean, out of the park home run.
It's complicated.
Yes.
Oh,
the timing.
Mm.
The timing was impeccable. Could not have been topped. So anyway, I want to give him a shout out, and of course we have to give another shout out to Ralph Fiennes.
Ray Fine.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. It says Ralph Fiennes.
I know, and Worcestershire says that.
But Alan Rickman, the late Alan Rickman, and he knew all along. He knew from the beginning because J.K. Rowling told him,
mm-hmm. and him alone,
him alone,
him alone.
And he took it to his grave. Never told anybody what J.K. Rowling said to him. But she has let us know, generally speaking. Told him how Snape turns out. What his motivation is. Alan needed that in order to play the character. Mm-hmm. And he did such a... what adjective can I use that's adequate?
I would just say one of the residual blessings that we have as an audience,
yes,
is to go back to the first film.
And then you can see the subtext.
You can track Snape through every single film.
Yes.
And you can see that motivation.
Yes.
You can see that gather around children. Yes. You can see that super objective.
Oh. Expound on that real quick.
Okay, super objective. Simply put, is the character's ultimate end-all, be-all desire. And it's their reason for being in whatever story they're in. Yeah. Like we talked about with Batman, Bruce Wayne wants to protect his family. That's his super objective. Snape wants to protect Harry. out of his love for Lily.
Is it easy to identify super objective?
Not as easily as when it's revealed in this film.
Okay. I like how, you know, right there at the beginning, we're talking about that scene with Harry and Grip Hook. And, the Hogwarts headmaster placed that sword in Bellatrix Lestrange's vault. Why would he do that? Well, we know why.
We do now.
Yeah. That's great foreshadowing.
Oh, goodness gracious.
Excellent foreshadowing. Okay, we don't need to... No more shout-out. Everybody gets a shout-out. Top marks. Everybody involved.
I just have to... More on Alan Rickman.
Okay.
We see the scenes where it's the time is in the present. And, you know, there's that quick little scene with the wand battle with McGonagall. Which, I didn't even know this, but... Maggie Smith, during filming these last two films, she was
battling cancer.
Cancer. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
She would do the scene on camera and then have to go sit down and rest.
Yeah.
Maybe even, I think, even do chemo on set.
Hey, you
something
know,
like that?
You know, one of the casualties of the screenwriting here, what they cut out of the books, is McGonagall's love for Harry. She loved him like a mother. And you can see just a shadow of that when she says, you know, Harry, what are you doing here? Whatever you do, do it quickly, blah, blah, blah.
You wouldn't have come unless you needed something.
Yeah, it's good to see
you. It's good to
see in the books.
I will say, I think earlier on in the films, you kind of see that. Not a lot. I agree with you. Not a lot. But there's just, and with this film in particular, because everything has to resolve.
Yes.
Everything, they could have made this last book into a trilogy.
Yes.
Everything has to resolve, so there's not a lot of inner monologue.
It's just terrible, the things that do have to get cut.
I know.
It's like, it's a shame. That's a shame. It's a fantastic film. It's a perfect film, I think. A perfect film. The whole series is.
Mm-hmm.
Really.
But real quick, before we continue, what I was going to say is, you see Snape, you see Alan Rickman as he is in the present, and he's that stern, that stoic look that he's had throughout the whole series. But then when he gets killed by Nagini, or when he gets his throat slashed by Voldemort, and then he gets, you know, bitten several times by Nagini, and then you see the tears, but then you see the memories, and how he's constantly writhing in pain over the loss of Lily.
Yes.
Like, that's the side of Snape that gets me every time, because no one has seen that except for Dumbledore. New homework assignment, y'all. Start at the beginning of the film series and watch Snape and Dumbledore, because Dumbledore knows the whole time. Snape knows the whole time.
They're in.
Yeah.
They're the only ones.
Yeah, they're the only ones.
And Dumbledore is omniscient. Can we just admit that?
Yeah.
Okay, and you even find out, it's even more clear in the books. He knows everything.
Mm-hmm. Well, except for where he is after he dies.
Well,
because he was hoping Harry could tell.
What
him.
I mean is, he can see, he can't see exactly how everything is going to play out, and we're going to get a little glimpse of that in one of my sound bites.
That's where free will comes in.
Yes, exactly. Great point. Thank you for saying that. In fact, you win the episode, as a matter of fact.
I thought I would have won the episode for my haircut.
Well, that's that got you pretty close. That
okay, good.
Close. You know, Brendan, this is an Easter movie. We should have saved this for Easter.
Oh, we should have. What did we do for Easter this year? I can't remember. Go ahead.
But before we get going any further, I want you, dear listeners, to make sure, however you're listening right now to the podcast, make sure it is through earbuds or earphones, because some of the clips that we're going to play are going to have some low music, and I opted to not truncate them. So that we have the tension and the emotion, the audio cues, right? That's going to help in these sound clips. So make sure that you are listening privately. Live Together, Die Alone. I was going to title the last episode, my segment, that. Live Together, Die Alone. And really, Philip's going to love this because it comes directly from Lost. More of that later on. There's some foreshadowing for this very episode.
Dadgummit.
Live Together.
I don't know what you guys are talking about.
Die Alone. That's a maxim, right?
Yeah.
But it's also a truth in this film. But we could also call it Harry the Horcrux, because we do find out that he is the unintended Horcrux. There were supposed to be seven, right? That's what he talks about to Professor Slughorn, a young Tom Riddle.
Mm-hmm.
Could a soul be split in seven ways? Good Lord. You know, and great stuff. Well, yes, it can. It can even be split eight ways. Oops. He didn't mean to do that. He didn't even know that that happened. Harry is a Horcrux. But Harry is also the propitiation.
Oh.
We know that's a big word, mm-hmm. Brendan, but mm-hmm. where do we first see that word in the Bible? We see it in the Old Testament, and it's associated with the most prized relic of the Hebrew religion, the Ark of the Covenant, because the lid is called the mercy seat. The lid of the Ark is the mercy seat, and that's where the blood of the atonement sacrifice is sprinkled. But that mercy seat... Well, that's what we call it. That word is propitiation, and it means the atoning sacrifice. Harry is back, is what everybody yells. It's Dumbledore's army in the Room of Requirement, right?
Mm-hmm.
As they come in there, Neville Longbottom, and his transformation, especially in the books, is profound. We love Neville Longbottom in this family. But they come through the tunnel out of Aberforth's abode in Hogshead, or Hogsmeade.
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 Yeah, Hogsmeade.
Hogshead is the pub.
That's that cheese.
Yeah. Okay. So Hogsmeade, and everybody. Whoa! Here's Harry Potter. We know what was set up in the last film: loneliness. Brendan, huh? But now, the band's back together. And that's what the kids are thinking, Dumbledore's army, because they know what a great wizard Harry Potter is.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody at that point gets together and works together to defeat Voldemort. But in the end, Harry must go to him alone. I'm just going to truncate my point, because I could sit here all day long and pick scenes out of the movie and just extrapolate on them, but let's just cut to the chase. Everybody working alone, I mean together, but Harry has to go alone. In fact, as they are rallying around the fact that Professor Snape, that evil man, has been driven out by Professor McGonagall, and now all the kids are a big cheer, but the cheering is broken up by screaming, high-pitched screaming, and it turns very dark and very cold very quick until we hear,
"I know that many of you will want to fight. Some of you may even think that to fight is wise. But this is folly. Give me Harry Potter. Do this, and none shall be harmed. Give me Harry Potter, and I shall leave Hogwarts untouched. Give me Harry Potter, and you will be rewarded. You have now 1 hour."
Wow. Immediately a girl from Slytherin. "What are you standing there for? He's right there. Grab him."
Somebody grab him. Who grabs him? Ginny.
Yeah.
And then Hermione. And then the rest of...
And then Cho Chang.
Yeah. Well.
And then the whole of gang. Dumbledore's army.
Mm-hmm. The Order of the Phoenix.
Yes.
The new Order of the Phoenix.
Oh, it's beautiful. Mm-hmm. Because this is really a repeat of what took place 17... or less, 16 years, because Harry was what, maybe one or whatever when it happened.
I think, yeah.
You know, over 15 years ago.
Yeah.
So this is but like they said last time, it feels worse this time. You know, this is bad. And so here's Voldemort just lying through his teeth. "Give me Harry, everything will be fine. I'll reward you.
I'll leave the school untouched."
Yep. Oh, yeah. So, So what's going to happen here? What does Voldemort think is going to happen? Well, bring me Harry, and Voldemort is certain that Harry will come. He's certain that Harry will come. And Lucius Malfoy, Now we're down at the boathouse or whatever. Was that a boathouse? I think it was a boathouse. We'll just call it a boathouse.
Yeah.
Because I can't remember. Lucius Malfoy is down there, and he's only concerned about two things. What's that? A, keeping his son Draco alive. Mm-hmm. And the turn of the Malfoy family.
Which we're going to talk
especially
about.
Especially in the books. Okay, so and the other thing that he's trying to do is keep himself alive, right? Mm-hmm. He tried to convince Voldemort to call off this destruction.
I did not be more prudent to call off this attack. Simply seek the boy yourself.
I do not need to seek the boy. Before the night is out, he will come to me. Do you understand?
Yeah, he's certain about that. And we get to the sacrificial love of Severus Snape being played out in his death at the hands of Voldemort. He knew that this was probably what was going to happen to him. He knew. He's been prepared for this. And in his dying moments, he provides Harry with all the answers. Harry takes his tears. Oh, there are plenty of Bible verses about that. He takes my tears away. He, you know, oh, wow. Okay, but we can't go. We can't follow that rabbit.
You carry my tears in your bottle?
Yes.
Are they not in your book?
That is in an episode of FCC. You used that as a key verse.
We've used that several times.
Yes.
Even in other podcasts of the GCT network.
Yes. Okay, Harry takes his tears, and he sees the conversation between Snape and Dumbledore. And he learns what must be done. Now, I have a couple of verses here. Romans 5, chapter 6 out of the NILT, the New Living Translation. When we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners.
So when the time comes, the boy must die?
Yes. Yes. He must die. So that he can die at the proper moment. You've been raising him like a pig for slaughter.
Isaiah chapter 53, verse 10 out of the New Living Translation, but it was the Lord's good plan to crush him and cause him grief. It's the first part of verse 10. You've been raising him as a... Well, let's change the words there, Snape. As a lamb prepared for slaughter. So Harry knows what must be done.
Yeah.
And so,
I was going to just add on. It's funny how much faith we see Harry having in Dumbledore, as we've seen through the whole series. Because Harry doesn't give himself up until he sees through Snape's memories that it's Dumbledore's plan all along. And Harry has so much faith in Dumbledore and his plans that he's willing to do whatever it takes to follow it.
That echoes Jesus and his faithfulness.
Yeah.
Wow. So Harry spends some time
We need some Kleenexes, y'all.
Well, it's at this time that Harry determines or resolves to go to Voldemort to die. Right? What? Harry Potter, the boy who lives, come to die.
Mm.
And he sits there and he... Well, it reminds me of Luke chapter 9, verse 1. Now, when the time had almost come for Jesus to be received up, this is out of the Amplified Version. Now, when the time had come or was almost come for Jesus to be received up to heaven, he steadfastly and determinedly set his face to go to Jerusalem. I love that saying, set his face. I'm going that way, is what Jesus said. I am going to Jerusalem. Nothing is going to stop me. Set his face. You can find that in the KJV, the Nearly King James Bible, the 1901 American Standard Version. You can find that in the NRSV, the New Revised Standard Version. You can find that in the ESV. Set his face. In the NET, the NLT, and the NIV, it's translated as resolutely. In the New American Standard Bible and the Common English Bible, it's translated as determined. He resolutely determined to set his face toward Voldemort to die. Harry Potter, the boy who lived, come to die.
No matter what.
No matter what. And he had his time in the Garden of Gethsemane, which was Dumbledore's abode, his office. And in the book, it's so fantastic with all the portraits of the previous headmasters, including Dumbledore himself. And they were like ministering spirits talking with Harry. Wow. Oh, the book. Oh, the book, the book, the book. And then he goes to fulfill his destiny, but not before meeting his closest and best friends.
Where have you been?
We thought you went to the forest. I'm going there now. Are you mad? No. You can't give yourself up to him.
What is it, Harry? What is it you know?
There's a reason I can hear them. The Horcruxes. I think I've known for a while. And I think you have too.
I'll go with you.
Now, kill the snake. Kill the snake and then it's just him.
Oh, man. Okay. Hard to talk after that one.
Yeah.
Ron says, where have you been? We thought you went to the forest. Harry says, I'm going there now. Are you mad? No, you can't give yourself up to him. Matthew 16, verses 21 through 23, out of the NRSV. From that time on, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and undergo great suffering at the hands of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and Voldemort and be killed and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, God forbid it, Lord. This must never happen to you. But he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, adversary. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things. I have to do this. Ron. Oh, and then Hermione. I'll go with you. I'll go with you. No, no, no. Isaiah 53, verse 7 out of the NASB. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to slaughter, and like a sheep that is silent before its shearers, so he did not open his mouth. The boy who lives come to die. Harry never said a word. Never made a defense for himself, never begged or pleaded, never got on his knees. The boy who lives come to die. And he goes out in the Forbidden Forest. Then we have that scene with the golden snitch. I open at the close. And it does open as he kisses the snitch.
Well, he's got to put it in his mouth.
Yes.
He's got to almost swallow it.
He's got flesh memory.
Yes.
We have devices with flash memory. The golden snitches have flesh memory.
Oh, stop.
This and that was a great scene. We're not even going to touch that.
Oh.
So after that, then he presents himself to Voldemort alone. And in the book, not in this movie, unfortunately, in the book, holy unarmed. He didn't even take his wand with him. and he lays down his life. Avada Kedavra! Boom! And then...
Harry, you wonderful boy. You brave, brave man. Let us walk.
Dumbledore knew, and he was still overjoyed. You did it. You did it! I knew you would do it! I knew it all along! Never had a doubt that you could do this.
Harry greets Dumbledore like an old friend.
Oh, the Deathly Hallows. Mm. So, but what do we see, Brendan? What do we see in this picture that I just painted real quickly out of Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2? We see, I'll tell you what we see. We see Hebrews chapter 2. And specifically, we see verses 9 and 10 out of the New Living Translation. What we do see is Jesus, who was given a position a little lower than the angels. And because he suffered death for us, he is now crowned with glory and honor. Yes, by God's grace, Jesus, Harry Potter, tasted death for everyone. God, for whom and through whom everything was made, chose to bring many children into glory. And it was only right that he should make Jesus, through his suffering, a perfect leader, fit to bring them into their salvation. What does Harry do when he comes back? He chooses to come back. And when he presents himself in front of all of his friends and loved ones, they rally. Yeah. They rally because he's a perfect leader now. He's a perfect leader. He is fit to bring them into salvation. What is that salvation? Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 15 out of the NET, the New English Translation. Therefore, since the children share in flesh and blood, he likewise shared in their humanity, so that through death he could destroy the one who holds the power of death, that is the adversary, the devil, and set free those who were held in slavery all their lives by their fear of Voldemort, by their fear of death. You wonderful boy. You brave, brave man. You did it! Key text, Brendan, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 15, out of the New Living Translation. So when you are sitting on your
double-decker couch
with your friends or loved ones watching Harry Potter, getting ready for Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, because that's going to be awesome. Just remember Hebrews chapter 2, verse 15, New Living Translation, only in this way. What way? What we just saw in the film, in the entire series. Only in this way could he set free all who have lived their lives as slaves to the fear of dying. Or we could go back to Galatians and continue my series.
Oh, I think we need to.
Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 through 5 out of the New Revised Standard Version. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, in order to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as children. That's what, why, this, here's my question for Christians out there. Why can we watch a film and a story in a series like this and be moved to tears, to joy, all the emotions? Do you feel those same things when you read the greatest story? When you read about the one who saved you? Are you moved enough by the greatest story to share it through Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows, Part 2? Because that's where the real meat and potatoes are, friends. It's what Jesus did. You wonderful boy. You brave, brave man. Went led to the cross without saying a word. And got up on there. This is a powerful illustration of the greatest story. Powerful. Brendan, questions, comments, piggybacks, editorials, off the wall remarks.
Oh, yeah. Whew. I should have brought, again, the Kleenex. Oh, man. Okay. Getting to your second key text, which I'm going to say is your main key text.
So that'll show up on the website? Yeah, is that what you're saying?
Exactly. you're on the Galatians kick. It's yes. A good kick. You know, what's funny, it says, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, in order to redeem those who are under the law, so that we might receive adoption as children.
Mm-hmm.
It's very important to remember that not only does Jesus save the whole world, but Jesus was primarily sent to save the Jews.
Yes. I'm glad that you brought that up. The law applies to the Hebrews.
Mm-hmm.
It does not apply to us. But Paul, remember what we said last episode because Paul addressed people like us that would go, hey, well, wait a second, that has nothing to do with me. Remember chapter 4, verse 8. Where am I? I'm in Galatians. Let's not be in Galatians. Let's go ahead and get over to, Ephesians. Let's get over to Galatians. Chapter 4, verse 8.
I'm lost.
Hey, this is small print type. I was in Ephesians. Now I'm in Galatians. Chapter 4, verse 8. This is an easy verse that you should always remember, especially you who have never been a Jew and never plan on being a Jew. Okay? This is your verse. But then indeed, when you, who? The Gentiles, the Galatians, when you didn't know God, you served those which by nature are not gods. This is the Nearly King James Version, but remember in the New Living Translation, he says, but you Gentiles, you know, even though you weren't part of God, you were enslaved to things that are not even gods. Your fake mm-hmm. gods, you were living under those laws. Mm-hmm. You were in slavery. And, I mean, you were outside of God, basically. So you were living under a law to nothingness. So that's what that's saying. So yeah, if we break this down, the Gentiles are still included in this statement because now we're all free. Everybody's free. And of course, now there is no Jew or Gentile and all of that good stuff. So I'm sorry for interjecting there. What point were you going to make?
Well, I was just going to say, now just remind me,
mm-hmm.
this is Paul writing this letter.
Yes.
So the author of these words was, in fact, someone who was under the law.
Yes.
Okay. So then let me reread it with a little more emphasis on that.
Okay.
But when the fullness of time had come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born like us under the law, says Paul.
Yes.
Born like us Jews, yes. In order to redeem those of us who were under the law, so that we, now that we are no longer under the law, might receive adoption as children.
Yes.
My main emphasis is, and I've said it plenty of times, and to be honest with you, I'm still wrapping my mind around it because this goes against years,
yes,
of not knowing,
conditioning
of conditioning,
yes,
as Jesus for the Jews,
yes,
so the church for the world, as Jesus for the Jews,
which is an N.T. Wright quotation.
Yeah, that's in one of his lectures. I need to, if I could find out how to link on Stitcher, I would, but I can't figure it out just yet. But it's in one of his lectures that he actually delivered at the C.S. Lewis Institute lecture series back in 2008, I believe. As Jesus for the Jews, so the church for the world. In the same way Jesus was called by God to save God's own people, the Jews.
Seek and save the lost and those scattered abroad, mm-hmm. yes.
We, as new children of God, we are called to save the world likewise.
Yes.
So.
Yes.
Just wanted to.
I'm thankful that you brought up that point.
Throw that in there. Oh, man. And that's not even my point. Here, let's get back to the Malfoys, shall we?
Oh, please.
Okay. Specifically, a Malfoy that we haven't really seen as much, except for in these last few films. Her name is Narcissa.
Yes.
Draco's mom, Lucius's wife, Bellatrix's sister. And I had forgotten that she was Bellatrix's sister.
There's a Coasters song called Bad Blood. She's got bad blood, bad blood. If you're a sister of Bellatrix.
Well, that's true. And there was a third sister in there, too. Andromeda. I'm just now getting familiar with the lore of the Wizarding World.
Okay.
So I don't know. But there are three sisters, Bellatrix, Narcissa, and Andromeda. Bellatrix, we see how crazy she is. Oh, goodness, we see how
psychotic.
And sidebar, one of the best scenes in the film that caused so much eruption and applause in the theater was when Mama Weasley, mm-hmm. you know what I'm talking about.
Yep.
Oh, there was just eruption.
Well, we've been waiting for a long time for Bellatrix to get hers.
Yes, yes. And I'm so glad it was Molly. Is that her name?
Yep.
Molly Weasley.
Molly Weasley. We love the Weasleys.
Oh, that just reminds me of another sidebar.
I'm going to tell you
after the show.
Okay.
After the show. Okay. This is why we have an outline. I can
yes.
look.
Yes. You only have a few minutes.
I have plenty of time. Now, granted, my point does center around Narcissa, but it actually starts with Draco. Draco has stumbled across Harry in the Room of Requirement. Harry's looking for the lost diadem of Rowena Ravenclaw.
Yes.
Another sidebar after the show. And Draco and his goons. It's not Crabbe and Goyle. The other guy?
I don't know, because Crabbe, the actor of Crabbe, got busted with drugs by the police, and so they said you can't be in our movies anymore.
Oh, see, I didn't even. Okay, well, thank you for answering that question.
You can't play anymore.
However, he's with Dude and Goyle.
Yes,
whoever Dude is, I never caught his name. And Draco just starts probing Harry with these questions.
Well, well. What brings you here, Potter? I could ask you the same. You have something of mine. I'd like it back.
Well, what's wrong with the one you have?
It's my mother's. It's powerful, but it's not the same. Doesn't quite understand me. Know what I mean?
What strange words for Draco to say. Harry, he's looking for the lost diadem, and Draco wants his wand back, because as Ollivander deciphered for us earlier in the film, at the beginning of the film, Harry has Draco's wand. What was it? Hawthorn and unicorn
eyebrow
hair.
Or something?
Whatever. He wants his wand back, and his mother's, Narcissa's wand, just isn't. It's powerful, but it's just not good enough. Now, diehard Harry Potter fans know this. Maybe simple moviegoers don't. I didn't know this until I watched the movie with a diehard Harry Potter fan.
That's how you cure all ills.
In the Wizarding World, wands mean things. A wand is a symbol of protection. When Draco was disarmed by Harry, Draco had no protection. So Narcissa gave Draco her wand so he could be protected, even though it left her
vulnerable,
without protection,
alone in the world.
You see, Narcissa, even though she's a Death Eater, even though she and Lucius, well, quote unquote, faithfully serve the Dark Lord, she still loves her son.
Yeah. It's a beautiful side story.
She, yeah. Yes.
especially in the books.
She loves, see, this is why I gotta read the books.
Yes.
She loves her son, and that love is comparable to Lily's love for Harry.
Oh! I didn't see that coming.
But is it not?
Yes.
It is. Narcissa's given up her own means, her only means of protection. By the way, going back to the part one of the Deathly Hallows, the film, think about when Voldemort snaps Lucius's wand in half.
Yeah.
Think about that. And we're back to this story. this is an example of light being in the darkest of places.
Wow.
Because this whole series, we've chucked up the Malfoys to be nothing but villainous people, black-hearted people. We've chucked them over. There's no redemption. There's no redemption whatsoever for them. But here we are.
Amen.
At the end of all things. And Harry, back to the scene in the Room of Requirement. Harry doesn't answer Draco's question about the wand. He hits him with another question.
Why didn't you tell her? Bellatrix. You knew it was me. You didn't say anything.
Come on, Draco. Don't be a brat. Do him.
Easy.
Ooh. See, in the last film, after Hermione had placed some sort of last-minute disguising spell on Harry so that Bellatrix wouldn't recognize him, and she doesn't. She has to ask everyone in the room.
She's not sure.
Well, she's not sure. Yeah.
She suspects.
Yes. And she asked Draco, is this Harry Potter? You ought to know. You know, you know this guy. You should know this is him.
You hate each other. You guys see each other all the time.
Draco gets an inch away from his face. And in the movie, you can tell that Draco knows it's Potter.
Yeah.
But he tells Bellatrix, no. He says, no, this isn't him. I can't remember exactly. He may just say, I can't tell. He lies.
I'm not sure.
He lies to Bellatrix in order to save Harry. Even though he had the opportunity to expose him, he doesn't take it. He doesn't oust Harry because he actually cares for Harry.
Mm.
And, you know, we as good Christian folk know that we can only love when we remember who first loved us. Draco remember who loves him. Draco remembers who loves him, his mother. And then he shares that love with Harry by not exposing him. Getting back to the wands, we can pass through the Room of Requirement. We get to after Harry has been killed by Voldemort, after the King's Cross limbo scene, which we'll talk about in a second. After that, Narcissa goes to check on Harry's body. And Bellatrix asks, is the boy... Here, let's listen to it.
The boy? Is he dead?
Once again, Narcissa has this chance to oust Harry, to foil the whole plan. She doesn't take it.
We already know. We also know from the previous film, part one, as Lucius was saying to Draco, is it Harry Potter? Think of what this could mean for our family. If you are the one to identify him, if we are the ones to deliver up Harry, think of what this can mean for us. They're giving it all. They're sacrificing everything.
Mm-hmm. And when the time comes for the final battle of Hogwarts, the final altercation on the grounds, on the school grounds, Voldemort has made the call for if anyone at Hogwarts wants to join,
do it now.
Do it now. This isn't a sound clip. I didn't clip this one out. But Lucius says, "Come, Draco." Draco stands still, mm-hmm. and you can tell Draco says, "No, this is where I belong." But as noble and comforting as that is, his mom then speaks up. Narcissa, she speaks up. She says, "Draco, come on." And then I can say, thankfully, the Malfoys escape with their lives because they know how close they've been playing it with the Dark Lord this whole time. They have this chance for freedom and they take it.
Yeah.
All because of the love that Narcissa has for Draco. If you need a key text for that, I'm sorry. It's all throughout the Bible.
It's Bible. You know, they're able to go away and escape, and because of what Harry did, his sacrifice that and the ultimate defeat of Voldemort, the Malfoy family is able to be redeemed. Mm-hmm. And we find that out in the books. And it's almost, you can see Severus Snape in Draco Malfoy, can't you?
Oh, yeah.
Mm.
See, and that's okay. Sidebar: we're gonna hold it off. We just need to have a Harry Potter after show special.
We just need to do Finding Christ in Harry Potter.
Oh,
man. A new podcast.
So that
we're doing a Middle Earth one.
Hey, hey, why not?
Yeah.
I have to think of a catchy name for the Harry Potter one.
Oh, I already got one.
Oh,
okay.
Well, don't share it.
No.
Okay. That was my first point, but then I can't leave Deathly Hallows Part 2 without talking about Dumbledore.
Who?
Dumbledore.
Oh, okay.
In Limbo. In this afterlife. This King's Cross, but cleaner. The space between.
Oh, it reminds me of the...
Behold, I go to prepare a place for
you. What's it
called
in The Magician's Nephew? That land where that has all the pools, and you jump into a pool, and then you're in a different world.
Oh, I can't.
Oh, now I got to go look that up.
Yeah,
Finding Christ in Narnia.
Oh, here coming we go. Up.
Okay.
Here we go. And thankfully, this scene is in here to dry up the tears from everything else that's happened.
Oh, good.
That's
been a highly charged, emotionally charged.
Yes, and I tell you one thing, the lighting helps because everything else was dark. Here we are in bright as day limbo or
quiet,
whatever this
is. Serene.
It's
quite,
yes, it's peaceful.
Yes.
It is quite peaceful. And Dumbledore always has wisdom to share with Harry. And Harry, he's made the decision to go back. But he has his doubts.
Voldemort has the Elder Wand.
True.
And the snake's still alive.
Yes.
And I've nothing to kill it with.
Help will always be given at Hogwarts, Harry, to those who ask for it.
He said that in day one.
Chamber of Secrets.
At least in... He said it in the Sorcerer's Stone, too, didn't he?
Oh, good.
I'm fairly certain he did. That's day one. That's Hogwarts 101.
Oh,
ha ha ha!
Yeah, the elementary.
That's elementary, my dear. Yes. Harry. Help will always be given at Hogwarts to those who ask for it. Yes, but Dumbledore,
which is a very wonderful saying. That's a great saying. That's comforting.
Yes. Yeah.
Is he going to turn up the...
Oh, he's about to turn
up. He's going
to
ratchet it up?
Before... Oh, yes. Because as we know from the Proverbs chapter 12, verse 6, that the words of the wicked are like a murderous ambush, but the words of the godly saves lives. And these words transfer from Dumbledore to Harry, ends up saving the whole school. The New Testament analog that I'm choosing... You know, me personally. Ephesians 4:29. This time out of the ESV, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Harry has his doubts about how he's going to defeat Dumbledore with all these odds.
Voldemort.
Voldemort, what did I say?
Dumbledore.
Dang it. Harry has these doubts on how he's going to defeat Voldemort. And yet Dumbledore, ever the wise, ever the omniscient, knows how to build Harry up.
I've always prized myself on my ability to turn a phrase. Words are, in my not so humble opinion, our most inexhaustible source of magic, capable of both inflicting injury and remedying it. But I would, in this case, amend my original statement to this. Help will always be given at Hogwarts to those who deserve it.
Now, this isn't a discussion on, who deserves what. This is a discussion on the power of words. This is a reminder that words, as Dumbledore says, can inflict injury, but also heal it.
Yes.
Words, as I would say, mandated.
It almost seems like Christians could learn something from this.
Yeah, oh, couldn't they? Couldn't we? Oh, here we go. Words can inflict.
You forgot that we were Christians there for a second.
I don't know
how you did that.
Man, how could I? Finding who in cinema?
Yes.
FWC. Words can inflict injury as well as remedy injury. Heal it. Correct it. And it almost speaks to the mandate that we have as Christians. Not only to save the world as Jesus saved the Jews. Not only that, but to build each other up with our words. Let no unwholesome, some translations say unwholesome talk, come from your mouth. Only speak in a way that builds up.
Amen. What a wonderful reminder.
Yeah. And it's, I honestly think that is J.K. Rowling's simple message for Dumbledore to sum up his character. Because how many times has Dumbledore given it, or he's awoken the bravery and the courage within Harry for him to press on? You know, that train's coming. That train, where does it go? On.
Yeah.
Oh. So my key text for that little point is, again, Ephesians 4:29 out of the ESV, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for the building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear.
Wow, wonderful. Wonderful advice.
Oh, man, we're 2 minutes over.
Oh, okay, well, let's cut it out.
We can cut out that whole...
Oh, wait. I wanted to talk about this other little thing that went on at King's Cross Station.
Oh, not there.
Because one of the last things that Dumbledore does say to Harry is...
Do not pity the dead, Harry. Pity the living. And above all those who live without love.
Wow. That's a profound statement. Advice. Don't pity the dead. Pity the living. And especially all those who live without love. What's the very next thing that Harry says to Dumbledore? He doesn't even respond to that. Or does he? Dumbledore. Professor Snape's Patronus is a doe.
Stop.
The same as my mom's.
Stop.
Curious, don't you think?
Actually, if I think about it, I don't find it curious at all.
Wow. Wow. Isn't he telling Harry that Severus Snape lived a life of love?
Oh, he is. Oh, he so is.
Wow. Wow. And that running thread, that theme, and we talked about it, we touched on it. I just wanted to end with that. What a profound character, and the lengths that man went to remain loyal to Dumbledore and Lily Potter. He was loyal above all things. If there's a word for Severus Snape, it would be loyal.
Oh.
And another L word, love.
Oh. Wow. Okay, let's just move on.
Love that he was happy to die for.
Oh. Dadgummit. So,
Brendan, what else? What else?
No.
Are we throwing out the challenge?
No, we are throwing, because we're going to take up all the goodie bags before the listeners get there.
Listeners, what Christian themes did you find in Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2? And even a bigger challenge, we really are summing up the entire series with what we said today. It's all been leading up. I knew from day one that I was going to present Harry as the Christ figure. It's obvious.
Yeah.
It's obvious, right? I mean, anybody can see that. I hope that I was able to stitch together a narrative that was impactful and that is providing you a tool that you can use, again, when you are
sitting, double-decker couch.
You know, sitting on your double-decker couch with Chris Pratt and your friends or loved ones. Chris will come if you call him up and say, I'm gonna sit on my double-decker couch and watch a movie with my friends and loved ones.
I hear tell he is that nice.
I mean, that's what I mean.
It's stuff like this that gives me trust.
No.
Well, it's
okay, just, we were kidding.
It's just all part of the magic.
Yes, goodness.
It's just all part of the magic.
Yeah, oh, no, Brendan, I don't even know where that is. You want to pull out Uncle Dursley?
There's no such thing as magic.
Is that the first one? Is that the first film? That's the first film.
Yes.
That's all the
way. Oh. We've had that in the sound cut for a long, long time.
Forever.
What Christian themes have you found in the Harry Potter series, an overarching theme? We pointed out a bunch today that were there the entire time. Wow. Brent, I think we did a good job.
I think we did, too.
I think that we did justice.
I'm glad we had this talk.
This little talk over here. We have feedback! Yay! And as we are wont, how do you say it, want or won't?
Who goes there?
It is I.
Being me. Has its privileges.
It really does.
We are not going to argue with that.
Scott!
Okay, we'll move on. We have a comment left on the website by patron saint Philip. He's going to take us down to King Philip Stables for this comment on Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 1 at ChristInCinema.com.
Oh, is that me? Okay.
That's your cue.
Hey, guys, and welcome. Oh, wait. Hey, guys, great to have you back from hiatus.
Thank you. It's great to be back. Yeah. How about you, Brendan?
No, it's good to be back.
Yes.
We're here all week. Good to see you. I still haven't seen Batman versus Superman.
Oh,
but
what?
Okay. If anyone needs to go back to the cupboard under the stairs, it's her.
Hey.
It's her.
We like her.
I still haven't seen that movie. But listen to the episode 102 and just skip the film discussion.
Yeah, that's why we put the sound, the timestamps at the top of the post.
Yes. 103 was good stuff, too. I'm pleased that the Harry Potter films hold up so well for rewatching, and the audiobooks, too.
Yes.
I have some Jim Dale and some Stephen Fry, and they're both outstanding narrations.
I haven't heard any of Stephen Fry's, but I am very pleased with Jim Dale.
Okay, well, there you go.
Yeah.
Who did it for Audible? Jim Dale?
Yes.
Okay.
Say it like Raisin Brando.
No, I'm not. No.
You're gonna listen. Audible.
Let the scoops.
See.
All right. quit having fun. We haven't even gotten to well-mannered frivolity yet.
We haven't gotten there yet. I get Brendan's hesitation to watch Lost. Thank you.
Yes. Yes. Wait, what am I doing?
When something gets talked about ubiquitously in pop culture, I get burnt out sometimes, even if I've never seen or read it. However, I think Lost is worth it.
Yay! See, there you go. That's all that needs to be said. Patron saint. And you know the patron society, according to that book that we're going to mention a little bit later on. You owe it to him. It's fealty. You owe it to him.
Oh, all right.
Okay.
Whatever.
No, hey. No, personally, no whatever. No muttering.
Personally. Says Philip.
Yes.
I love the finale, although many people dislike it, and it's cliche now to make jokes about it. There were tons of things brought up and set up, and not all were paid off, which doesn't bother me. It's a character-driven show, and that's what held my interest. All the side stuff was fun and interesting, but not what I was tuning in for, mostly.
He said exactly what I have told you. Exactly. Verbatim. verbatim. Do all the things get answered? Nope. Is that okay? Absolutely, because it's a character-driven show. In fact, if they answered all the stuff, you'd be bummed. Like, because there's a lot of mysteries and things. But at the end, I mean, hey, we're talking a lot of tears here in Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows. There's mucho in Lost as well. Mucho movement of the emotions, of the seat of emotion. Your kidneys will quiver.
First of all, that's not where I heard the seat of emotions were.
It's the kidneys.
No, it's the sacrum.
No, the kidneys.
The sac.
Oh, wait, no. Or is it the bowels?
Well, the sacrum's behind the bowels.
There you go.
Anyway, now here's the...
Your bowels will quiver. There, I fixed it.
Oh.
Nobody will know that I misspoke.
Oh, man. Anyway, so here's my question, Michael, Philip, yes. Anybody who likes Lost. Here's my question. You say things get unresolved and that it's okay. When you say things get unresolved, are you referring to character growth and
plot
development?
Plot devices.
Now that I'm okay with, yes. Not being resolved, as long as the equilibriums of the characters.
It's like this. Here's your scales.
Well, okay, I know they get ruffled up.
No, I mean your payoff. Character, plot devices. It's like this. And if you're watching
on the video, you can
see.
That's not what I'm talking about.
Oh, okay.
What I'm talking about is, in the beginning of the series,
yes,
everything's normal. They're on the plane.
There's nothing normal at the beginning
of
the series.
Michael, you keep... They're on the plane.
Okay, for 2 seconds. Everything's normal.
It's normal.
Yes.
The intrusion into this world is the plane crash.
Yes.
Is however you want to break that down.
Yes.
That's the first thing.
Yes.
That happens.
Okay.
Okay. That is
a first plot device, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
That gets resolved.
Besides that,
you don't care.
The characters in the plane crash. When the plane crashes, their worlds get turned upside down.
Yes, and they hit microphones and all kinds of
every
stuff.
Every time.
A lot of microphones get hit.
At the end of all things of the series,
yes,
are those characters still like this?
It depends on who you are,
okay,
and how you view it. Okay. It took me my second entire full viewing of the series in order to understand what I missed in the first one, and it's a very minor detail that if you miss that, then you will miss the ending.
Okay.
Okay?
All right.
So then
what I'm now hearing,
yes,
is that Lost is a complete story.
Yes.
The mass.
It is an absolutely complete story.
The mass population must have missed it.
It happens all the time, Brendan.
For it to earn such vitriol.
It happens all the time. We read it in the reviews on IMDb, on movies. You and I, we go, what are they talking? How did you go to see this film? You didn't see this film. You're just writing about it.
Yeah.
No, people miss things. In fact, I would say the majority of people miss points that are being made all the time. All the time.
Mm.
That's just natural, though.
That's
a defect in communication. Or a defect in interpretation. We could go off on a big... Oh. Okay, anyway, back to his letter.
Yes, back to the feed. Back. If you want a companion podcast to listen to, my favorite was The Lost Podcast.
If you can find it.
with Jay and Jack. And Jorge Garcia had one called Geronimo's Jack... Jorge Garcia had a podcast called Geronimo Jack's Beard.
And you will actually...
Which was fun as well.
You will love his character in Lost. You will love... everybody loves Hurley. Everybody... In fact, that's the title of an episode, Everybody Loves Hurley. You will love this man and his acting abilities. I don't know if you've seen him in anything. I haven't seen him in anything else, but he was on Hawaii Five-0 and a lot of things. His character is so endearing. That's the word. Endearing.
Okay, that guy.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay.
Okay, so, and I'm going to have to look up that podcast and listen hopefully, you know, I follow him on Instagram and probably Twitter or something. He's just a neat guy, you know. But he's one of those people on screen. Oh, He's one of those people on screen that you just feel, that's my friend. You know, it's that kind of a personality. Gotcha. So.
Okay. Philip concludes.
Oh, we're still on,
we're still on feedback. Four minutes and 29 seconds on feedback. Great to have you back, and I'm looking forward to the Tolkien podcast, although I hope you guys don't abandon FCC entirely at that point.
Why are you looking at me like that?
I listen to a few other Christian film podcasts, and you guys have a distinct voice I don't find elsewhere. And I love it.
Oh, wow. That is quite a compliment.
Talk about your fealty.
Yes. Well, yes. Well, no, we owe it to him. He's the patron.
That's what I'm saying.
Yes, he's like, the one that is dispensing grace.
That's why.
Must repay in faithfulness. Yes.
Yes. Because grace and faithfulness are business terms.
They are.
Under a patron society.
Yes.
Thanks for the show. Hashtag MoeLab Gimlet.
Oh, it was so wonderful to hear feedback from. You know what? I've been bummed out the last few days because I hadn't heard any feedback from Philip. I'm being honest.
And then here we are this morning.
I'll edit this out of the show so he doesn't hear it. Yeah. And then this morning I wake up, bing, yes! I got up, I'm skipping, the birds are singing and sun's shining.
Cooking your traditional English breakfast.
A like good old fry up.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, man. I mean, birds were landing on my shoulders and stuff and butterflies and things. It was great. So thank you. End of edit. Thank you very much, Philip, for all the feedback. We just love you dearly, brother. No other feedback other than that. We'll give you listeners out there all the ways to contact us and do that to contact us and leave feedback and all that good stuff here in just a moment. Next up.
Well-mannered frivolity.
Thank you, Professor McGonagall.
Thank you, Maggie Minerva McGonagall.
We love you. Hey. Speaking of, we've been just dropping hints.
Yeah.
I completed misreading scriptures with Western eyes. I reviewed it on Goodreads. I should have copied that, and because if you don't follow me on Goodreads, then you won't be able to read that. But that I cannot, 5 stars. I don't even care if it was a 4-star book. This book deserves 5 stars. Every Christian, I cannot say this. I can't emphasize this enough. Every Christian should read this book at least once. It is a very easy read. And
very easy.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a conversational style, you know, mm-hmm. manner. Mm-hmm. And hopefully what it will do is open your eyes to the fact. Okay, this isn't debatable. The fact that different cultures think different things. And newsflash, our culture is pretty new in the grand scheme of things. Mm. I will just say this to ease some, because I know some people get upset about this kind of stuff. So let me just ease your worries. The authors are not saying that you think wrong.
Lee.
That's wrong an adverb.
Lee. It's an adverb.
Lee. Nor are they saying... Nor are they saying that you have to change your doctrines and the things that you believe. What they are saying is that maybe, perhaps, there are other ways of understanding certain things that were written thousands of years ago, thousands and thousands of miles ago. Brendan, anything to add to that?
I'm re-listening to it. And
the Audible version is excellent.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
That reader, he's great. Mm-hmm. It bothers me. Here's the one thing. The one thing that bothers me is the multiple times that it says Revelations.
Yeah.
That just irks me. But that's just a pet peeve.
Yeah.
It's not, you know, I shouldn't have even said that. That sounds trite.
I forgot what I was going to say.
See, I just told
you. Oh, no. Okay, I got it back. Flew the coop. Now it came home to roost.
Right.
Listening to it again because, you know, I get back from school and, you know, here's Michael going, Brendan, I just started misreading scripture with Western eyes, blah, blah, blah. Removing cultural blinders, doo blue blue. And I'm like, okay, well, it's been at least a year since I've read it, so I got to reread it so I can be on the track with him. And, oh, on the way in. On the way in today, I was Jeremiah 29:11.
Yes. Lay it on us.
Please
don't even say it.
For I know the plans I have for you, oh American reader. Oh individual American reader.
That's trying to figure out what to do for a career.
To go to college.
Or should I marry this girl?
That's where I'm at. I'm about to get those last three, those passages that are just so.
Yeah.
Oh man. Anyway, like Michael, I cannot suggest it enough, and I'm gonna get a physical copy.
Yeah, and me too, because I have so many bookmarks and highlights in the audio version that I know that I need to. It's too hard to find stuff, and
yeah.
I mean, yeah, I do that on Kindle too. Oh, I love this book. I'm reading on Kindle. Well, I have to get a hard copy so that I can highlight and find my way around it.
My thing is, I'm gonna read each chapter with the intent of answering the questions at the end of each,
because it is set up for study groups as well. They end the chapters with questions.
Yeah, and the questions are about what that chapter was.
Discussion questions.
And I'm just. Because you can probably testify to this too. When you're listening to it, you have your answers already bubbling over in your head. You have nowhere to write them out or speak them.
Yeah.
I'm going to get the physical copy just so I could have those written down.
Yeah.
It's
$9 on Amazon.
Yeah. Oh.
Every version of it is $9 in the $9 range.
The Kindle, the paperback,
Audible, the audio version. You can buy the audio version on Amazon, even though Audible is an Amazon company.
And I think if you get the Kindle version, you can get the Audible version at like a severe discount.
Well, check it out.
Like once you pay the $9.99 for the book or whatever it is, you get like the audio for like three something.
Misreading scriptures with Western eyes, subtitled, removing cultural blinders. We use that in the description of Finding Christ in Cinema. We say that we watch movies through Christian lenses. Everything that we do, dear listeners, everything that we do in life is done through lenses. We're all putting on lenses over our eyes, and we're seeing the world through those. And so what we have to do is learn to identify, what lenses do I have on, and are they the proper lens to have? That's what it all comes down to, really.
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
what it comes to. What's the context of the entire book? The things that go without saying.
Yeah.
Okay, and that's where lenses come in.
How those are different in different cultures, in different time periods.
What goes without saying for us may not go without saying for those in Japan or anywhere else.
For I know the plants.
Yes.
Anyway, so hey, what about Facebook Live?
Yes, we did before the show today. We did a live video on our Facebook page over there at facebook.com/Christ in Cinema. We broadcast over there for, I don't know, 5-10 minutes or so. And that was a lot of fun. We did a behind the scenes. As soon as Brendan got here, I ambushed him and boom, here's a camera on. Brendan, let's start talking. Get over there, watch that video, see if you actually like that kind of stuff. If you do, Brendan and I we have no problem doing more behind the scenes extra things, but go and watch that, see what we were babbling on about, and like it and share it with all of your friends, and make sure that you are you like our Facebook page. It's Finding Christ in Cinema on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
What else? What's going on?
Well, I as I announced last episode, I got a new job.
Yay! Oh wait, well, I shouldn't have done that. Do you still have it?
No, I still have
it. Oh, okay.
Oh, thankfully. I still have it.
I was waiting for you to go, no, ixnay.
Ixnay on the objay. This past Monday, well, just to reiterate.
I thought my jokes were bad.
Yeah, I know. Yes. I know, Heath. Calm down.
Yes.
I'll be an educational assistant at.
These are dark times.
I'll be an educational assistant.
These are dark times.
Oh, I'm sorry.
At Aiken Elementary.
Yes.
Back in Shelbyville. This past Monday, I got to go to an in-service. I got to meet some of the teachers I'll be working with. I'll be primarily working with kindergartners.
Oh, so wonderful.
Fresh out.
Good.
Fresh out the crop.
Yeah.
Getting into the public school system. And I'll float around. Main thing I got is cafeteria duty.
Okay.
So watch out.
So, like, you're monitoring and making sure no food fights and things like that?
Or if they do start, I make sure that I finish them.
Yes. Yes. And
but yeah, start that. I start that next Monday. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
It'll be
prayer request for Brendan. Okay, because this show has gone way too long, this episode, our longest episode ever.
Oh, this
We are going to skip the lightning round. I'm trying to keep this reasonable. Well, let's skip the lightning round. Brendan, what is coming up on Finding Christ in Cinema?
Well, thank goodness we have something light and fluffy next week. We got Zootopia.
Yay! I just watched that the other night.
Did you
for
not
the
love
first
it?
Time, and I loved it.
Carrots.
Yeah.
Hey, carrots.
Yes. Jason Bateman as the fox. I like it because he's older than I am, so that's always good. Mm-hmm. That makes him, he's great.
He looks like the lead singer of Train. Hey, soul sister. No? Okay.
You look like the band Driveshaft in Lost.
See, there's another Lost. Who's
you getting, all, I, everybody. You all, everybody.
And then after Zootopia.
Yes. Do we have something picked out?
Well, I think we might as well go ahead.
And finish up another series?
Have we done that series completely?
Yeah.
Have we done 1 and 2?
And 3.
And 3 part 3.1?
Yeah.
Or 3.5? Now we need to
do, yes.
Or 3.1.
We need to finish it. Okay. Yes, we did. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
The last one was a great one.
So, all right. After Zootopia.
Yes.
We're doing The Hunger Games, Mockingjay Part 2.
Yeah! Just go ahead and finish up that, and whatever we do, it's here on Finding Christ in Cinema. Finding Christ in Cinema is live in the GCT Network studio each Thursday, Lord willing, at around 4 p.m. Eastern Time. Join us for live video and especially chat using the chat room and video player at gctnetwork.com/live. Finding Christ in Cinema is part of the Great Commission Transmission Network, a listener-supported ministry using new media and social networking to equip and encourage you to go into all the world and proclaim the good news to everyone. To find out more and to partner with us, visit us at gctnetwork.com/donate. To witness the firepower of this fully armed and operational digital ministry, including all 104 episodes of Finding Christ in Cinema, Brendan's Monday movie review,
when I get time to see movies,
and links to our social media profiles, visit our website at christincinema.com. You can send us email to fcc@gctnetwork.com.
You can call us up on the voice line at 507-407-GCTN.
That's shocking.
Or you could use our brand spanking new phone line at 507-407-4286.
Oh. Who?
Martha.
I like to whisper too.
If you want to listen to the good old podcast, you can find us at iTunes, if the air gets to it.
Oh, no, see, that's the wrong thing. You're goofing up.
The air got to it!
You could find us on Stitcher if you like falafel.
No, I don't like falafel. Yes, I do! I do like falafel!
Like falafel.
You could find us on you can find us on TuneIn Radio if you love duct tape.
Love duct tape.
Or now you can find us on Google Play Music if you like those three wombats.
No, not those three wombats.
Four.
No way.
This is not some cute technology like the Iron Man suit.
I know, it's four.
You can search iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and Google Play Music for Finding Christ in Cinema.
Christ
and you,
God.
And you will find...
heavy.
You'll find us there.
Praise God!
These are dark times.
And for all the shows that we produce here at the Great Commission Transmission Network, including our brothers in Texas,
the Theonauts!
Get over to our official website at gctnetwork.com/... Anything else?
Quiche!
Oh, no. And that is a wrap!
I just like to smile. Smiling's my favorite.
Cotton-headed ninny...
No? Who?
Cotton-headed ninny mug.
Who?
Cotton-headed ninny muggins.
Who?
You gotta keep regular if you want to be happy.
He chose... one.
Have you ever heard of Plato? Aristotle?
Socrates.
Google Play Music.
Yes. Moron.
You are tuned in to the GCT Network.
This is your Great Commission. This is your Great Commission transmission.
At GCTNetwork.com.
You're gonna eat Kellogg's Raisin Bran, see? Because it's got two scoops. I'm Raisin Blando.
Oh, no. Oh, stop.
Oh. Oh, it shouldn't be that funny, but it is. Oh.
Raisin Brando. Oh, if only the people could hear us having this much fun. They don't even know. Nobody knows that we're having this much fun.
That's why we need to get on Facebook Live. 90 minutes.
She rolled under the bed and into another episode, dimension.
Yes. And the dog has to go get her.
I wish I could remember the dog because he's calling... Come here, mommy.
That's creepy.
We're coming for you, honey. Oh, I want to watch that episode again. That's one of my all-time favorite Twilight Zone episodes.
Really?
Yeah, falling off the bed and rolling under into another dimension. I love it.
How do you do that?
It's awesome.
Rod Serling never questions.
Yes. No.